Hi, it's Elise.
Hey, it's Kay.
And this is episode, I'm not sure, 14 of Love Her, Leave Her Wild. Hannah couldn't be here today for this episode, so it's going to be Kay and I. And this stemmed from a conversation you and I had a couple days ago. So I had texted you, Kay, and I was like, I think I know what my next episode will be about. And then I said, happiness. And you said, happiness is good, a broad topic. And I said, it's about people chasing it. And then I told you, and it's just an emotion. And you said, it's temporary. Happiness is never everlasting. And which is interesting because I feel like not a lot of people know that, right?
You're right. I usually tread lightly whenever you text me these like open-ended statements, I'm like, where is this going? So I had to like leave it pretty open because I don't want to like crush your dreams. You know, a lot of people bank on happiness forever. Like they chase that shit for a lifetime. So if that was going to be you, I was like, well, let's see where she stands on this one.
Yeah. And we haven't been friends for that long enough for you to just be like, bitch, you're crazy, or bitch, like, let me tell you something about something, because you're still kind of treading lightly on that newer friendship. Yeah. But so far, I feel like you and I have matched pretty well on our thoughts of lots of things, including happiness. So what happened was I was getting ready and I was watching TikToks, because I love TikTok. And I stumbled on this account, Are You Happy? And it's this documentary that they're making. And they go up to strangers and they say, Are you happy? And then he asks, like, what makes you happy? And a message that you want to impart on the world. Okay. And I just have such an issue with this. I think at one point in our text messaging, we both said fuck happiness, which is the name of this. It's going to be the name of this episode, because happiness is just an emotion. Happiness is not a state of being, right?
Right. Like, I mean, it is so situational. Like it depends. It is the most dependent feeling that we're going to have. Like, I mean, it depends on everything. Mm-hmm. Because you don't wake up happy. Something has to happen in order for you to feel happy. Like when I wake up, I'm content. Unless like my dogs are barking or whatever, then I'm kind of like irritated. But for the most part, I wake up and it's just like, oh, it's another day. Like, and then I'm happy when I go in to get Everly out of her crib and she's like, hey, that makes me happy. Uh-huh. That happiness doesn't last all day.
Right.
It goes away. It's very temporary. And people miss that, I think. Like, I missed it forever, like what seemed like forever, for like 25 years. Mm-hmm. I felt like happiness was what I was aiming for. And I was just like, probably not. This is not step one. We should probably skip this part.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know, when I realized that happiness was not my ultimate goal. When I realized it was just an emotion and you can't feel one certain emotion your whole life, it just doesn't work like that. It just in the same token, you can't be angry your whole life.
Right.
You know, it's
some
just
people seem angry.
Being angry. And that might be another episode at some point. Being angry takes a lot of energy.
It does. It has aged me a lot and I'm not even angry all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. But you have to like, I always say this, you have to remind yourself to be angry because it's not our state of being, right?
Right.
So if you're watching a show, you're having a conversation with someone and you forget that you're angry at someone else or something, right?
Right.
So then you have to remind yourself to be angry.
It takes a lot of effort.
Yeah. A lot of work, effort, energy, all of it.
Tom.
Yeah. So it's like you choose that. You choose it. You choose to be angry. Or continuing to be angry. You might not choose it for the time that is happening in that moment of being angry, right? Like you're in a fight with your significant other or family member or whoever, and you're angry. So that's it is what it is. But 2 days later, you're still angry about it. You're choosing to still be angry about it.
That's really weird. Like if you think about that, like that is just... that is a weird state to be in. Like, oh, I forgot.
Yeah.
I don't like you.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, like, fuck you. Like, yeah. That is, I've never thought about that before. That's too much dipping into my bucket. You ever read that book, The Flick?
No, dipping. What's it called?
Like, it's about a bucket, but it's like, be a bucket filler. Like, so everyone walks around and has a bucket. And in this bucket is basically like your feeling, like that's your happiness is in this bucket is the whole point of this book. And so whenever you do a good deed or whenever someone does something that makes you happy, they fill your bucket and you fill other people's bucket by being kind and by doing things that make them happy and by being having good morals. Like you are a bucket filler if you have good morals, basically. Or you can be dipping into someone's bucket if you're mean to them or if you hurt their feelings or whatever, like, and people can like dip into your bucket too. And when they take out of your bucket, it's when they hurt your feelings and they take your happiness away. This is a children's book. Like my nephew, he would, whenever he would get in trouble, he would cry and be like, "You took out of my bucket."
Yeah, that sounds like a terrible book.
It is.
I don't like it.
I agree. Yeah. But it's kind of cute, like for kids, like teach their feelings and stuff. But
I get that. But we could probably think of a different way to do that instead of just being like, no, this is how we groom women to be people pleasing. Huh?
It was my nephew.
Okay, but I'm talking about women in general. I know. And it's okay. I'm not saying listeners, if you have read this book or love this book, I'm not saying there's a problem with it. I'm saying that's how I see it.
It's just so, happiness is so superficial that it can be in a children's book. Like you don't see children's books about being content.
Right.
Or anything that really that matters in the grand scheme of our life. Like
exactly. Exactly.
Is really weird because it's like society doesn't really change as we grow. Like it doesn't mature as we mature. Like they're still trying to sell us happiness. Like, you know, the other day I told you that I found that journal. It was an adult journal that was called 1 Minute of Happiness.
Yeah.
Every day.
And like, I said, that sounds about right.
It is. It's so temporary. Like when I eat a Reese cup, that's happiness. And then it goes away.
Yeah. It's just an emotion and but we're also being sold that in everyday life. We're getting sold the idea of like, you want happiness. Happiness is your end goal. You can buy it in this, you can buy it in that.
You can buy it 'cause it's cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We get ads all the time about happiness. Because we all think that's what we need, but really essentially is what we're looking for is contentment and peace.
I was talking to Chelsea about this and I told her that happiness is what changes, like contentment is the backdrop. That's like the stage, but then, you know, that's the part that never changes, like your backdrop in a play. And then the happiness is like like the characters and the people, like the set that changes throughout the entire time. Like that was what I could wrap my mind around happiness being, because it changes constantly. Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not, but the backdrop is the same. The stage is the same.
Right. Yeah. I would say that's a pretty fair point. Chelsea is your friend, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that's a pretty fair way of seeing it. I just, you know, I think people get happiness and contentment mixed up.
Yes.
And it's too difficult to try to maintain an emotion for that long. And being that content of like, you know, who you are as a person, who you are in the world, all of the things that come with being content in yourself and finding peace in yourself is kind of the ultimate goal. And happiness is kind of waves in and out like the ocean.
And we also live in like an extreme world. Extremes are what people want. Like, I mean, everything, politics, everything is extreme or it doesn't matter. And happiness is, and it is kind of an extreme emotion because it is that rush. It is temporary. It is like a quick fix, you know?
Yeah.
Basically
It's like, we're always chasing that high.
Yeah. I mean, in a way, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not saying that like everybody should walk around like very monotone and boring and be like, oh, have a good day. Like, it's a good day.
Right.
I mean, no, it's not that. It's just that I think we need to realize that this isn't that we're not going to maintain happiness forever. And I right. like when we were talking about it and I was saying that I feel like happiness is so ingrained in us and what we see from such a young age that is so necessary in order to live a fulfilled life. Like we think we have to be happy.
Yeah.
And we identify happiness. We know what it is. We know what it feels like. And then we get married or whatever happens in our life and we get married because we feel that happiness. Well, over time that happiness fades away because you don't get that same, it's not new anymore. It's, you know, things become more mundane and just like average. There's not as much fluctuation or as many extremes because you've kind of settled in to your marriage. And then because that happiness isn't there anymore, you don't feel like it's the right one, or, you know, you go out seeking happiness from other people or from other things, and it can lead to a broken situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And when you're, say you're in a marriage, you look to them to control your emotion. Yeah. Well, you're not making me happy. Is that their job?
When you were married, did you ever say that? Were you ever like, you don't make me happy?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I was very well aware that it wasn't his job mm-hmm. to make me happy. So when I was married, it would be more like, these are the things I need to feel loved.
Right.
So I never got them, but at least I said them.
And how long ago, like, when did you realize like happiness ain't shit?
It's been a long time. I don't know how or why that came up. It just did. Maybe it was in one of my past lives.
You've had a lot of those.
Yeah. So like I just,
Willow.
Yeah. So I just kind of knew it, and it has helped me understand that. So I don't get down on myself for not being quote happy all the time. But and I'm a pretty positive person, pretty optimistic. Maybe not lately. You don't know this super optimistic Elise, because this Elise is going through some shit. But for the most part, pretty optimistic and positive about life.
That's toxic.
Yeah. Let's talk about toxic positivity and that bullshit.
My God.
You know, it's the Rachel Hollises of the world that really fuck it up.
I feel like you can still be optimistic and be a realist at the same time. Like that doesn't, being optimistic doesn't mean that you are guilty of toxic positivity. It just means that you have been through some bad shit. So you know what bad shit is, and this isn't going to be that kind of bad shit. So yeah, there is something positive to say. And I think that being enlightened that there is light at the end of the tunnel doesn't make you toxic either. It makes you wise.
I know. It's a fine line that I've worried about, you know, time and again, if I've crossed that line of toxic positivity, because like I told you, it's always been my defense mechanism was like, it'll get better. It'll get better. It'll get better. And when, you know, stuff had happened in my childhood that was incredibly traumatic, I would sit there and cry and think to myself, it'll get better. It's not always going to be like this. And that's how I made it through. And I still make it through to this day because I've already lived some life. I've lived right. 40 years of life, and I know that it gets better, and I know that there's tough times and it gets better. So that's just kind of what I do. And even in my Instagram posts, and even with these episodes, I like to talk about the hardship, but I also like to wrap it up in a way of like, I don't know, you walk away thinking you learned something.
Right.
And is that toxic positivity? I don't know, man. I also don't have
people who aren't growing. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, true.
If you're stagnant and you are content with being stagnant in your life, then yeah, you would probably feel like that's toxic to you because
yeah, But is it Rachel Hollis level toxic positivity? No,
it's not. It's not really toxic positivity.
I'm not talking about like my maid washing my fucking toilets like a bitch.
She is the most obnoxious person.
Always. Have you ever read her stuff?
Yeah. It actually got sent to me when the toilet situation happened. My friend sent it to me and she was like, please watch this. And I was like, holy shit. The girl's got some balls. Like, and then I scrolled through her stuff and I read it and I was like, this is disgusting. Who bought her book? Who is here? Who are the people that follow you? And then I was a little disturbed at the people who followed her because of course it's people that I am familiar with.
I am
lovely social media.
Yeah, exactly. But when Girl Wash Your Face came out, mm-hmm. It was like all the rage I saw. And I read a little bit, I didn't buy the book. I read an excerpt of it and it was, bullshit. Mm-hmm. Just, bullshit. It was, you know, things that we already know in this. Oh my gosh. I immediately hated it. And I was just like, this bitch.
She's not a person that I consider to have much depth, put it that way.
No, not at all. Not at all. So, but back to toxic positivity, she definitely is one that like slings it. Is that what I'm thinking? Slings it like, I don't know what the hell.
She gives it away. Like it's free.
No. Like she uses it to make cash money, but I can't think of the word. It's fine. But she does use it to make that money and money she does make.
I must not be toxic positive. I must not reek of toxic positivity enough because
I ain't making that money either, honey.
Really?
So I might not be. I remember Hannah told me actually before we started talking that someone had reached out to her after one of her posts and told her to go read mine because I'm much more positive. And I was like, what? I'm not even that positive, but I think it's how I always wrap it up.
I think it's just when I started following you guys, like it was however long, like January, February. I just thought you were wise. Like I thought that you see a bigger picture than a lot of people. And I always look for that in people that I'm going to engage with. Like not just engage as in on social media, but like spend my time to build a friendship with people. Because if you don't have, if you lack that, I feel like we don't have much in common.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I just thought it was so funny. I was just like, wow, I'm not even that positive. Like I talk about real shit, but
I feel like you're super positive. Like I feel like you are an optimistic person, but I wouldn't say that you're always positive. Like, I just feel like you word things eloquently. Like,
I mean, yeah. Yeah. Well, I do write.
Yeah. I mean, like that's exactly like you write like a writer. Go figure.
I don't know. I just feel like it's such a fine line sometimes. And you know, Instagram also doesn't give us the amount of word count mm-hmm. to really dig into some things. And let's be honest, a lot of our attention spans are just not there anymore.
Guilty of that.
I mean, it's true. Sometimes if I see a longer caption, I was like, okay, scrolling. I can't do it.
If it says continued in comment,
yes,
I ain't got that for you.
Agreed.
Do not. I think I scroll down to see, like if it's very wordy, I scroll down to see if they say it's continued in the comments, because if it is continued in the comments, I'm not reading anymore. I'm going to feel like I didn't even see this post.
So happiness, you know, we both said fuck happiness because it's not really a thing. It's not really an achievable goal. It's not the success.
It's not worth the chase at all. Like it's not, because it's always going to be more. Like you're always going to want something more from it, I think. Mm-hmm. Just be okay. It's nirvana. Like just get there.
Just live in the moment.
Oh.
Well, you don't like to live in the moment.
Oh, no. I cannot, like, I'm the worst. I cannot live in the moment, which is why it was so important to me. I had to be okay. I had to learn how to be at peace with things that I could not control. Like, I had to be okay with being out of control.
Right.
I needed peace in that, because if I couldn't find peace in that, I was going to continue to be a disaster. Mm-hmm. That's how I felt. And that is, there's so many problems that come from that. So I just, but it took a lot for me to realize, like, happiness ain't it. It's not it. Like, not saying that I don't enjoy happiness, because obviously I do, but I'm not going to invest myself in a temporary feeling.
Exactly. And chase that high. It's legitimately chasing a high.
Yeah.
Like, again, this is, I mean, I guess my whole basic thought process, or I guess what I want to get across on this episode, is that it's chasing a high. And that's just
exhausting,
disappointing. You feel like a failure to just like, okay, I'm going to be happy if this. Okay, I'm going to be happy if this. And then they get it, and then they're happy, but then it doesn't last. So then they think they need more of something.
I feel like it would be like, to a certain degree, like, I would feel defeated every time. Like, I would feel
exactly.
like a sense of defeat after every time that I just didn't feel. If you relied on happiness, then you're relying on something that is a fleeting, it is like a fleeting emotion. Like, it
exactly.
comes and goes, and it's just. But like, when I was talking to Chelsea about this, she was saying that it's subjective and that it is different for everyone. So what I consider happiness might not be what other people consider happiness.
Agreed.
And what makes them happy could be longer lasting than what makes me happy.
No, but you can't just, okay. I get it. I get it. Right. It is subjective. Something that makes me happy might not make you happy. Obviously that's
right.
Definitely true, but you still can't stay in one emotional state.
Right.
For a very long time. It just doesn't work. Like, that's not how emotions work.
And I was like reading what other people were saying, and they were just, talking about how
on my Instagram.
No, like, I was reading, like, just reading different forums and stuff. And I was actually talking to Marcus about it too. And he was saying that he is one who would like he would combine joy and happiness, because I was saying that to me, joy and contentment are the same for me. Like, that is where I, like, to me, those two are more relative than happiness and joy, because to
Agreed.
Me, joy is longer lasting than, you know, than happiness. So, but
joy comes from a different place, I feel.
It does. And I agree with that. And so that it's a byproduct of a moral life is joy to me. For Marcus, he was saying that joy is happiness and that his ultimate goal is contentment. And I was like, well, contentment and joy for me are the same. And he was like, no, it's not. And I was like, yes, it is. I looked it up. It's not. Like, and so, I mean, it's people perceive things differently, I think, based off of what they've always been taught.
Okay.
Or heard, or just like fed, like what you're fed, basically. Yes. I grew up in church. I grew up very spiritual, I grew up very religious, structured religion. But that is the only thing that I have lived out, you know, my entire life, was the end goal being joy. That was what I wanted. That is the one thing that stuck with me throughout my life, even though I left religion.
Right.
Because to me, it's still spiritual. Like, it is a spiritual thing. Contentment is spiritual.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. That for you. Yes. I don't know that contentment is spiritual to me.
You don't think so?
I don't know. I never thought about it that way.
It's
I
like
guess,
coming from within. It comes deep in from your soul.
Yes. I feel that joy comes from my soul. Yes.
Isn't that spiritual?
Yeah. I guess you're right. It's spiritual.
Do you consider yourself a not spiritual person?
Yes. Just in a very different way than a lot of people. Like my whole theory.
I do feel like you are a spiritual person, even with your theory. Like, I consider myself to be spiritual, and I'm not religious at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm, I do. For me, joy is being alive. Mm-hmm. Joy is, hugs in my daughter. Joy is, you know, when we're outside and the sun is shining down on us. And it's just like those crystal moments that feel like can be frozen. That to me is joy.
Sustainable.
Yeah, it's sustainable. It's not, my love for my daughter will never change.
Right.
You know, it's not just a quick, like, you know, like you said, eating a Reese's cup. It's just not. It is what it is. I'll never not love the sunshine on my skin. That's just what it is. So that's joy. It is sustainable. You're correct. It's something that we may forget sometimes.
Yeah.
When we're walking through life and a lot of shit is going on, or, you know, you're going through some hard times, but it's always there.
The Bible says joy comes in the morning. To me, when I learned about joy, it made sense. Mm-hmm. Because that was the only tangible and sustainable thing that I took from that. That's crazy. Like, to think about the years I spent listening to that and that's what I walked away with.
I mean, that's pretty amazing though. You could have walked away with a lot more that wasn't maybe good, but to walk away with the definition of joy and what that means is I think a really good thing.
But I was just a really deep child.
Same.
Like, I remember the writing in my Tweety Bird diary, like, joy was what I wanted. I didn't care about being happy. I just wanted joy. I mean,
yeah,
that was as a child.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're right. You do lose sight of it. Like, when you have a lot of shit going on, yeah. When you lose people that you love or lose relationships that meant something to you.
Yep.
The joy fades and happiness is what you seek, because happiness is quicker.
It's a fix.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You just look for that quick fix to make it feel all better. When really, if you just gave it time and you know, quieted your mind a little bit, and the joy is always there. It's always there.
It is.
So we need to stop looking for that quick fix, whether it's, you know, could be in anything, sex, food, material things, likes, attention. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I need some attention though. I don't get likes. I always call them pets. Like, I need to be petted.
Well, it depends. I mean, like, validation. I mean, like, likes on Instagram, you know, TikTok, whatever it is. That kind of thing. The empty, those are the quick fixes. That's what we're searching for, is like that high, you know, and that's what companies try to sell us, is that high. Which is like, okay, my goal is to have this home and this car, and then you're happy that you have it. And then all of a sudden you're just like, I need a better house. I need a better car. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. It's just like, I sit here, this would have been an interesting conversation to have with you like years ago when I did not have the insight that I have now, like before I was divorced and went through like all that shit. Mm-hmm. And I learned so much, because I learned that in order for me to grow at all, I literally had to start over. And I think that, what about if I would have started over seeking happiness again? Like, and that's what I needed, was that validation. Like, if I would have never grown out of that, like, because in the beginning, that was what I needed. I did need validation, and I did need to be petted. Like, that was what I needed. And if I would have kept that same mentality, like, I would have probably been remarried and divorced all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in order to grow wisely, I feel like you really do have to come to this realization.
Yeah, absolutely. It's important. It's important to understand that happiness is not the ultimate goal. And no matter how much people try to sell it to us, and no matter how much people are talking about it on their social media pages, it's not sustainable, it's just fleeting emotions.
It's the same thing as like being liked and loved. Like, I can love you, but that doesn't mean that I like you. Yeah. You know, in the moment, like me and Marcus fight, I still love him, but I don't like him in that moment. And right. It's basically that same theory.
Yeah.
Contentment and happiness. Like, you can have contentment without having happiness constantly. Like, you don't have to constantly be happy in order to be content in your life.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
You don't have to constantly like your significant other or anyone in order to love them. Like, you're not always going to like them.
But I think contentment also comes from a lot of work on yourself.
Yes. Like, it's raw.
It can't be external. You know, you can get married, whatever your goals are, CEO of a company, being a movie star, being a mom, whatever your goal is, your biggest goal. It just, you know what I mean?
So much work.
It is. It's a lot of work, but just because you get there doesn't mean as much as we think it does. It doesn't get us to being content, because that's all inner work.
Yeah. I mean, think about it though. Like, where were you at when you were married the first time? Were you happy, or did you feel like you were content, or?
Well, that's a loaded question.
Like, I'm sitting here trying to think of my first marriage too. Like, and I thought that I was content, actually. Like, I felt like that was what I had with my marriage was a sustainable feeling. But I guess that goes to show you that, like, anger and things like that are also those instant those fleeting emotions that come in, those same kind of highs that we have, like, as an extreme high, you can have those extreme lows too, that do a lot of damage.
Yeah.
But I did feel content in the beginning. Like, did you?
I'm trying to think. I felt content with Felicity and the love I have. And yeah, I had it, but so something that one of my best friends pointed out when we split up, it was like probably the day later, we were on the phone and I was crying. And I think I remember saying to her, I don't understand. You don't understand. Just so the day before we split, I was sitting outside of our door here. It was beautiful, May 23rd of 2020. And Felicity, my ex, was at the computer, but he didn't want to come outside with us, which he never wanted to come outside with us. And Felicity and I were on the door. We were sitting there and we were laughing and hugging and playing and loving. It was just like one of those perfect moments. There was like a nice breeze and it was just a beautiful day. And I was just so happy. I was so happy, but I was happy and content. I was telling my best friend, I don't understand, like, how you couldn't look out that door and think to yourself, I'm the luckiest man in the whole world. You know, you see your wife out there laughing and hugging and smiling and dancing with your little girl. And I said, I was so happy. I was so happy. And she's like, well, what made you happy? And then I told her, you know, being a mom, my friends, advocating, doing this, that. She's like, okay, what part of that was him?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you didn't lose any of your happiness.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, you're right. I made my own happiness. So was I content in my marriage? No, but I made myself content with who I was, mostly, until then I got out of the marriage and I realized that I wasn't me, and that's a whole different thing. But yeah, contentment is not external at all. It's just not.
And I think, like, people like you that have a lot of insight because you've had like 3,000 past lives, it's really weird. I feel like the ability to make yourself content in your situation, that's toxic. But it's not toxic that you
it's a trauma response.
Yeah. Like it's not that it affects anyone else. It actually makes it easier for everyone else. So everyone else, y'all need to quit bitching and just be grateful that we have this ability to adapt, basically.
Yeah.
Because if we didn't, or if, you know, if you didn't adapt to your situation, then think of how miserable you would be. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Because again, that's that the positive outlook I had, you know, is just like, okay, well, look how I kept saying to myself, look how far you've come. Look at this. Look at what you have. Look at what you have, you know, and always being grateful, because I always believe in having gratitude. And every day I wake up and I have gratitude for things in my life and people in my life. And I'm also one of those people that you will probably get a random text from me telling you that I'm grateful for you in my life.
I haven't gotten one of those yet. So
you will eventually.
Tomorrow.
Okay. Tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central.
But it's funny. Like I'm listening to you say like how you always said it'll get better. It'll get better. Yeah. That was never what I would say to myself. It was always, it could always be worse.
Yeah. I've had those thoughts too. I'm saying, when I use that to myself, it's gonna get better. It's really in the moments of those traumatic times. It's mm-hmm. in the moments of getting physically abused, la 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 la. But mm-hmm. when you're outside of that, like real trauma, then you would say things like it could be worse. So I think that's just the difference there.
Okay.
So I wouldn't worry about it too much.
I'm okay. I'm good.
You're okay. You're good. I promise. Cause I've had those thoughts too, but I just think it's really important to always have gratitude. And that's what I did. And that's what I tried to make him see. I would say, look how far you've come. Look at everything that we have. It was just never good enough for him ever. And that was tough. It was tough.
I wonder what that is. Like, is that like a self? I mean, it is a self. A character flaw, like that's a self problem, but like, what are you looking for? Like, what is it that you need? If this isn't it for you, then you're just a miserable person.
Yeah. You know, some people are just different, you know, completely. And he and I were totally different. I think I used to have an ex-boyfriend that used to call me Sunshine. That was my nickname. And my friends all say that I'm rainbows and puppies, which is fine. It's who I am. But, you know, so it was like Piglet and Eeyore. That's who we were. Truly. That's who we were to each other. And I do know that it took a lot of energy out of me every day. And people say all of the time, I get all of the time since the time that we split, how much I seem to be glowing now and how happy I seem in the change in me. And it really, honestly, is just, it's not being sucked out of me anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally like when you're in an unhappy situation like that, that's what it is. Like it is miserable. Like it is so exhausting.
Yeah. Always trying to prove. Yeah. I was always trying to prove like that
I'm enough to be happy. You. It's so weird. Like what the fuck? Who taught us that? Like, where did that come from? That we felt like it was our job to serve their emotional needs for being happy or being content. Or even like being proud. Like I remember feeling like I just wanted him to be proud that I was his wife.
Same.
It's the weirdest thing. And I'm like, proud of what? Like, what is it that I'm doing that he should even be proud of? Like, I'm very average, normal, you know, kind of normal, kind of weird, but like, I'm not doing anything to make you super proud. But like I did, I wanted him to be proud of me. And I was always trying to think of ways to make him to say, I'm proud that you're my wife.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But never. He would never say that.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. And I would just be like, aren't you lucky? I always wanted him to be lucky, to feel lucky.
Did you feel lucky? Because I didn't feel lucky. And I would I would never even lie, I don't think. Like, I wonder what I would have said if he was like, are you proud that I'm your husband? I would have been like, yeah. But I, in the inside, I would have been like, good point.
I was proud of how far he had come from when we started dating. But then now looking back on everything, I pushed him to be someone he wasn't and he didn't want to be. I have a different work ethic. I have an extreme work ethic. I got hustle. That's not him. That's not him.
My mom always told me, like, I need to quit. I don't know, how does she word it? She has told me this since I was in like high school. The normal person doesn't function in the same arena as me. Is what she would always say. And it's true though, because like her point was that I can't hold everyone to the same standards that I hold myself to. But I do. Like, I hate that I do that, but I do. Like, if I can do this, then you should be able to do it, especially if you have like an upper hand in it. But that was how I always felt. It was
that's
like
how it works, baby.
I know, but like, that's how I felt. And it's kind of like, well, I'd rather just be in my arena by my damn self, because y'all are sucking the life out of me and slowing me down and I got shit to do. So
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was the same way. Don't get me wrong. I'm like, what? I just did all of this stuff for you. Can't even do half of that for me.
Can you wash the dishes though? Like, that's all I needed.
Well, I just mean in general, I think I had to readjust my expectations and not judge people based on my own actions and what I would do. And that stopped me from being able to be disappointed by people, whether it's family, whether it's husband, friends, whatever. It's, we're not the same. Like I said in a previous episode, I'm a lake. I can't expect everybody to be a lake and give that much.
It's true.
And that's okay. It's okay.
But do you feel like you expected a lot from, like, I don't even feel like I expected a lot. I honestly feel like I expected just common decency.
Well, yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm different now. I'm 40. I've been through the shit and I realized what I was doing and I stopped it. But,
like, honesty, well, yes. I expect you to be honest.
Honest, loyal, respectful.
Is that really a lot though? Like, is that enough for you to say, like, people don't function in the same arena as you? Oh, my bad.
Well, then if the bar is set at just respect and loyalty and honesty, then yeah, you shouldn't have them in your arena. You can still have that. But I'm talking about, like, I give a lot. I give a whole hell of a lot. And most of the listeners don't know that about me. How would they know that about me? Mm-hmm. But it was having those same expectations on others.
Right.
Like, if I'm giving you this much, you should give that to me. And they're not lakes, they're cups. So I'm pouring all me into them and they're just like, okay, this is what I have. And they throw this cup of, you know, water into me, into my lake. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, what? I've done so much. And then that was when I was younger and then I had to readjust, but it still happens. Like, you know, my friend and his mom, they have issues. And, you know, I always tell him, like, stop expecting that she's going to be a certain way when you know she's not, because you'll just keep getting disappointed. That's it. Have reasonable expectations.
I don't know. I don't know that I expect a lot anymore. Like, I mean, how do you avoid that? Do you just not, can you not expect anything?
Well, no, that's setting the, I know it's a fine line, it's a balance, because you don't need to set the bar so low that you don't expect anything, but you need to have, I would say, like, manageable expectations of a person. I think love, honesty, loyalty, those kinds of things are, but if you're the kind of person that goes above and beyond,
basically base your expectations around the character of the person. They need to be tailored to them.
Yes.
And not to you.
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah. Yeah. You need to know what you need in your life and first you I guess see, I don't know, I guess you need to think about like whether this person is going to be good in your life, right? That's the first step, is like, is this person good enough in my life? If they are, if they do meet those requirements that you have for people in your life, whether it's love, friend, whatever.
So is this the turning point
of
your journey of like finding yourself? Like, is this where you like,
I've grown a lot. I've grown a lot in the last year. It's been May 23rd was a year since he left.
No, but is this where you stop allowing the happiness that men bring and you start like being content? Like you start working on being content. So now you can't let those quick fixes of happiness in, or how is this going to work?
I don't know. I don't even know if they're quick fixes of happiness. I think it's just, I get bored and lonely sometimes. So I think, you know, I really enjoyed this conversation with you about happiness versus contentment and all of it. And, you know, I hope that it resonates with the listeners, because I think once you understand that, it relieves a lot of pressure.
It does, because it's okay to just chill. Like you just have to dig deep sometimes. And I felt like I actually made a list of the things that made me happy. It was like a week. I did it for a week. And this was like several years ago, things that made me happy throughout the day for a week. And I went back through and circled the things that were sustainable versus like very temporary. And mm-hmm. only a few of them were like a sustainable, like yeah. were from something that was sustainable, like which was like my family or, you know, things like that. A lot of it was material things, very superficial. It was just kind of sad, actually. Like it just made me feel like a very materialistic person that, and I just had the wrong, my priorities just were not what they should have been.
Yeah.
And it was rough to see that, because I mean, that's about yourself. Like that kind of reflection is a little hard sometimes. That self.
Oh, 100%. Growth is not easy.
It is not.
It's hard as fuck.
Yeah. I mean, you just got to cut it clean sometimes. And I mean, it was very humbling in a way too, but like, yeah. I was like, I've really got a lot of work to do, but I do like, if there's anybody who is struggling with that, like I really encourage that exercise, I guess, like that's what they called it, was an exercise, but it does put things into perspective, like where your value lies basically.
Yeah.
But be prepared.
Yeah. But like I said, growth is hard. I talked about that. Growth is hard. Everybody wants to come out the other side of it and be like, oh man, growth is amazing and la la la. It is, but they don't talk about the tears. They don't talk about all the shit, all the shit that you see in yourself where you're just like, oh my God, I didn't even realize I was doing that. Or I didn't realize that was part of who I was. I had to, you know, work on this shit. That's the hard truth, man. That's what growth is looking at all of the bullshit in yourself and staring it in the face and being like, okay, I have to take accountability.
Yeah. It's time to evolve.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I've done the most growing in the last year of my whole life. And I'm always on the path of growth. Always. That's just who I am. But the most growth for me has been over the past year, and it has been hard. Well, if you have any questions or comments, dating stories, anything that you want to throw at us, please visit www.loveherleaveherwild.com. That's all one word. And in the about section, I feel, is the submission form. This is sponsored by our Love Her Leave Her Wild is sponsored by Rose and Grace. Check them out on Instagram, Facebook. My upcoming book of the same name, Love Her Leave Her Wild, Dear Mom, an organization that supports mothers with children with Down syndrome, and Never Alone at North. Go give them some love on Facebook. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.